Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of The Edric Show. I am your host, Edric Jerome. This is the place for intelligent conversation with interesting people. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and you will get notified when content is posted each and every week. I want to welcome my guest, David Herrera, artistic director and choreographer of the David Herrera Performance Company in San Francisco. He's here to discuss the upcoming performance of Orale, a partnership of music and dance featuring the live music of Chicano living legend Elvez. Orale runs September 7th through the 9th at Z Space in San Francisco. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's get into the production. Tell me about Orale. How did it come together? And what can people expect when they see the performance?
All right. That's a packed question, but I'll try to get it to all of it. Sure. So Orale is it's a big production. It's a collaboration by David Herrera Performance Company with five other national Latinx, Latina choreographers from around the country. And that includes Alfonso Cervera from Columbus, Ohio, Stephanie Martinez from Chicago, Gabriel Mata from Washington, D.C., Yvonne Montoya from Tucson, Arizona, and then another local colleague of mine, Eric Garcia, here in San Francisco. So it's a collaboration between us and then with Elvez as well, Elvez and his band, the Memphis Mariachis. We've been putting this show together for about 2 years now. The early conversation started about 2 years ago. And the idea was to bring as many Latinx voices into one piece of work in one evening. This was really exciting to me because in the professional, contemporary, and modern concert dance world, it is very rare that our narratives and stories and ideas are seen on stages across the United States. So my company focuses and centers our communities as is. But for me, I want to take that a step further and also address and talk about how as a community, we can not only come together, but we can also bring something different, a different flavor, something unique to one production. So what this, what is different about this evening is that it's not a festival. So it's not individual choreographed pieces. While each choreographer created choreography to one of Elvez's songs, I had the privilege and the challenge of sewing these pieces together into one full evening. So it has a beginning and an end. It has different narratives and stories that pop in and out. And I got to put it all together, which was exciting. And it was the first time I've gotten to work with this many Latinx artists. So for me, this was truly special and something I wanted to fulfill for a long, long time. So the evening is part dance performance, part rock concert, complete party fiesta feel. So the piece is big, it's rambunctious, it's topsy, and it's turvy. It dips in reality and dream making. I wanted to show the different layers of our community and the different approaches that we took to that all bring these ideas into the performance. So it has a very loose narrative because that's really the way I think our community lives. We come in and out of moments, right? I Spanglish with friends, then I move into Spanish, then I move into English, right? I'm first generation. My parents were immigrants to the country. I was the first in both sides of my family to go to college. So there's these different experiences that come with being Latino for me. And the same thing, I think, can be said for Elvez and his music. The reason I was drawn to his music, actually, let me give a little sure. background here.
Sure.
I happened to study his work when I was in college over 20 years ago. I happened to take a class that was about submersive Latino identity in the United States. And one of the things that we studied in that college course was one of his albums, Gracias Land. And what I found really interesting about Elvis and his work was that he was taking these sounds that people really consider American sounds, rock and roll, pop music. And he was taking these songs that people know so well, you know, in the ghetto. He turned it into En El Barrio. Blue Suede Shoes is now Huaraches Azules. And so he rewrote the lyrics to speak about his own experience being American born and an American born Latino, being Chicano, being Pocho, somebody who didn't know how to speak Spanish and then had to relearn it so he also had a better understanding of his communities and his backgrounds. And so to me, that really resonated because, I am firstborn as well. And I was working in a field, modern dance, that again has this very American context to it. But I was feeling erased by the very art form that I loved. I was going out seeing work, and I see a lot of it. And I was seeing that there was this huge gap of representation and visibility of Latino artists, Latinx artists in the dance and the professional dance field. And that really upset me and bothered me. And so when I created David Herrera Performance Company, I knew I wanted to bring those voices into the center of the work that I did. And parallel to Elvis's use of music, I was using this, what many people consider American art form, to bring these narratives into the forefront rather than to keep them in the background. And so this is how Orale really all kind of came together with all these ideas in mind. Folks ask me if this was a singular idea, and it's not. This has been happening in my mind and in my heart and in my community for years and years on end. And this is just another manifestation of what that looks like and feels like. And it's very unapologetic. we're saying the things we're saying, we're dancing the way we want to dance, and we're really just doing it the way that feels good and right for us. And I will say that, there might be some things that some certain audience members will not get. The nuances, those cultural nuances, they may not get it, but those who do, and that's important.
That was actually, I was going to lead into that. My next question was, and you kind of alluded to it, why is it so important, especially these days, for people of color to tell their own stories in their own way? What does that mean to you about telling your own story in your own way?
Yeah. So, I grew up in Hollywood, California. So I grew up in the middle of the entertainment industry. Literally, it was one block away from Hollywood Boulevard. And my community was very, very multicultural. A global majority was my community around me. And to me, that's what resonated. That's what makes sense. And then to move into certain fields, both in education and the professional arts field, I noticed how much slack there was of representation for pretty much any community of color, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so really it became a crusade almost to make sure that everything that I do touches on this idea somehow, whether if it's through a narrative, through a theme, through who I'm presenting, who's dancing in the company. It's that we're constantly putting this up front. We're not hiding, we're not shying away from it. And also that I'm fighting for space and visibility, not just for myself, but for my community. So when I do have the opportunity to produce something, I love to invite other people into that idea, whatever the case may be, in whichever form it may be. So for instance, one small aspect that it's not really talked about in this production is that we have community vendors selling their goods in the lobby before and during the before the performance, during intermission, after the show. And this includes Mujeres Poderosas Anaca, which is a woman-driven collective, immigrant woman-driven collective. And they are selling their handmade embroidered feminist pins from Central and South America, right? And so it's this kind of community building aspect that I really try to bring into my work. Even though we are first and foremost a performance company, we also have programming outside of the dance company for community members. So we have a mentorship program for emerging young dance artists to teach them everything that has taken me almost 20 years to learn, right? That I had to learn the hard way. And for me, it's important to pass this information down for free. There's no charge. The mentorship, I give them everything that I have learned so that hopefully that they can get to the space that I'm at much sooner than it took me to be here, right? Passing that wealth down. We also have a national initiative for working artists all around the country. It's called Latinx Hispanic Dancers United. And this initiative has many different programs running at the same time. So while we are a performance company, we're also a community. And I recognize that we're now a community builder. And we are taking a lead role nationally, which is exciting. It's a lot of work, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of work, but it's exciting. And I think it was needed. And that's why Orale is important. Orale is important to show how not only can we come together, but how much power we have when we do, mm-hmm. right? I think that is a good example to set for any community, particularly any community that has felt marginalized by the status quo and by history in the U.S., is to show that we have wealth among ourselves. I always describe it this way. I almost think about it the way we celebrated events growing up, whether it's a celebration or something sad. So for instance, if we're celebrating a quinceañera or somebody's parents passed in another country, the community rile came together. So people would donate money or bring food or whatnot. And so I think about it like, you bring tortillas, I bring rice, somebody else brings corn. And all of a sudden, while we all thought we were lacking individually, when we come together to the table, we have a feast. And Orale is a feast. It's a feast for the eyes. It's a feast for the senses. There's a lot going on. The expression value is not only happening in the music of El Vez and the dances themselves, but it's happening in the costuming. It's happening in the stage design by Rogelio Lopez, the costuming by Ismael Acosta. I told all the designers, the lighting designers, I said, let's not be shy about this. Let's just go for it. Let's give it full blast. Let's again, do it the way we want to do it rather than having the influences from the outside. And don't get me wrong. There was moments where I still allowed that outside perspective to kind of creep in. And, mm-hmm. and I kept thinking like, is this going to be too much? Is this going to be too loud? Is this going to be understood by the masses? And I have to remember that what's important is that we tell the stories we want to tell and do it the way we want to do it. And I need to, and I keep coming back to that because that is my anchor. Every time I start expanding outwardly again and start thinking about everybody's opinion about this, that's when I start to lose the thread of what this is really about, which is my communities, our communities. So yeah, so I would say that's why it's important. And of course, it's fun to collaborate with another art form. Mm-hmm. Having the live band and the dancers is just, ooh, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, maybe at moments a little too much, but that's okay.
Your passion is definitely coming through even in this interview, I could tell. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. Let me ask you now just about the collaboration and bringing all this together. Obviously, when you have this many creative types, you have this many folks coming together for a performance like this, someone has to be able to navigate and corral all of this creativity into a piece that, you know, people could come and watch. So what was your approach to reaching out and bringing all of these folks together? And then how did you go ahead and navigate through ensuring that everybody's creativity and their ability is heard and presented? But at the same time, you, as you know, you have to have some way of corralling all of this together. How'd you do that?
Yes. So this is a great question. It's not necessarily always easy. what was easy was getting people involved. You know, I met Elves, whose real name is Robert Lopez. Several years ago, I went to one of his concerts in San Francisco, invited by one of my friends. And I gave the backstory. I already knew who he was. I already knew the work. So we went to the concert, but my friend who took me happened to know somebody in the band. Weirdly, they went to college with this band member over 20 years ago. They were roommates. And so when we started to recognize the connections here, I started saying it would be interesting. It would be so much fun to choreograph to his work. And she said, why don't we do the intro tonight and see what happens? And that's exactly what went down. We did a quick exchange of information, really not expecting Alves, who has, you know, 40 plus years in the music industry, 35 years of being Alves, I not really expecting him to pick me up on this, right? I just assumed he'd be busy and he's constantly touring. And a couple of months, maybe it was a month or 2 months later, I hit him back up to see if he was still interested. And he said, yes, I am. And really, that's, as they say, the rest of is history. We continued on with the project. Then inviting the dancers, or excuse me, the choreographers, was also quite exciting because they all said yes immediately. And I think the reason for that was because none of us have ever had this experience before. We've never been able to work with other Latinx choreographers before. For many of us, we rarely get to work with Latinx, Latina dancers, if ever. And so the idea of coming together and actually working with one another, I think was exciting for everybody. Plus knowing that they got to create something in their own voice, and then that I got to take that and put it in this larger idea, which was really exciting also, and really generous of all of them, including Alves and all the choreographers, was that they are allowing me to shape the entire production, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so there are things that they were giving me leeway with transitions and maybe even some choreographic changes, things that help the production make sense and stay together. And they've all been really, really good about allowing that to happen. But I think it's because we all understand that it needs to happen so that it doesn't feel too separate. But the corralling part, the corralling part wasn't necessarily difficult in getting people in. What became more of a challenge was the scheduling. Because the out-of-state choreographers, we had to fly them in, we brought them in. They either spent a week or 2 weeks with us here in the Bay Area. And then they would go back, you know, to their towns. And then we were left with what they've created. And then it was up to us to keep it fresh, keep it going. And then you take on top of that we have a cast of 10, of 10 dancers who all dance for multiple companies throughout the Bay Area. And so in keeping all that scheduling was, you know, it was a lot of puzzle work. And then you take the band. The band is mostly in Southern California. Elves himself lives in Mexico City. And so then there's this whole other aspect of bringing them in, figuring out how they rehearse. So they've been rehearsing in Southern California without Elves, but they've been having meetings together. They've been working together also for a long time, so they know each other, right? Mm-hmm. So they know how to get together immediately and put things together. And so that also has been really helpful because we were able to jump in this week into the theater for the first time all together and start putting this into the evening that we were imagining for an opening night tonight.
And speaking of that, I know you guys are opening tonight, and thank you for agreeing to do this today. I know you had coming off a 12-hour rehearsal day yesterday, and I'm sure you've got a lot more to get to. But are there any plans for the show after the run ends on the 9th, or are there any ways that other people may get to see it in other places?
Yes. So there are other plans. This is one production we feel really strongly about touring. So we are going to be, we are shopping this piece already, if you will, to other locations, particularly to the towns where the choreographers are from. That's a high interest. to bring the work there. Plus, I also do believe that a work like this, especially given the community aspect and how many people from around the country we brought in to work on it, cannot stay just in the Bay Area.
Right.
It needs to go to other places to fulfill its mission. It needs to develop between now and then. You know, I'm sure things will change when that happens and it goes up again. So a way that folks can continue participating, so to speak, is we are obviously actively accepting donations that are tax exempt, so that we can keep building this and working this and showing it to the public. But also we will have obviously a recording that we do think we will be releasing for a limited time online, so those folks who were not able to make it can watch it. And we will continue pushing to get it seen in other locations.
Well, David, again, I know you're very busy and thank you so much. But if people want more information about the show, they want more information about you, your dance company, Elvis, where can they go to get information? And more importantly, where can they go and get tickets?
Okay, great. So the ticket site is www.z, as in zebra, cspace.org, and that's also the theater we're performing in, C-Space in the Mission District in San Francisco, 450 Florida Street. So the ticket link one more time is www.cspace.org. For information on my organization, it's www.dhperformance.org. And there you will find all the information for my company, what we're about, what we do, our mission statement, and other works. And if you wanted to check out Elvis, elvis.net is where to go.
Excellent. Excellent. David Herrera, Artistic Director and Choreographer of the David Herrera Performance Company in San Francisco. Thank you so much for appearing on the Edric Show, and congratulations and good luck on Orderly. And again, I think it's important, and you mentioned it, that other people will be able to see it as well. And that it seems like it's just starting. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. This has been another edition of The Edric Show. I am your host, Edric Jerome. As promised, this is the place for intelligent conversation with interesting people. Hit that subscribe button. Check us out. Let me know how I'm doing as I bring you this content each and every week. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.